Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, identifying true fellowship by its confidence in facing Christ's judgment seat. Some Christians, and I have to include myself in past years, have experienced real fear or anxiety in considering that they will one day have their Christian lives evaluated by Jesus Christ at his judgment seat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to him. Years ago, when I was a teenager, an evangelist came to our church, and he talked about the fact that God has taken a video or a movie camera picture of you, and he's going to show all the deeds of your Christian life, and it's going to be up on the screen for everybody to see it. And of course, we were all mortified, but he used that as a vehicle to get us to dedicate our lives to Christ and everything. Well, there's nothing in the scriptures that says that God's going to play a video in front of the whole church of your Christian life. Everybody would be mortified if you look at it that way. But it's true that we're all going to give an account of our Christian lives before the Lord. And the picture is that all of our works will pass before the judgment seat and the judgment fire of God. And be tested and so forth. We're going to go into a little more detail later on. Well, because of that, I remember I used to feel a real anxiety about the rapture, thinking, I kind of hope it holds off until I become some sort of super godly saint, because I don't know how I'm going to fare when I stand before God, because it was too scary. And, of course, that's a signal in and of itself. It's not supposed to be. If it is scary, that means that something isn't right. However, true fellowship with God exchanges this fear for confidence. A truth John explains in 1 John 4:17 to 19, and we view that explanation that we might enjoy confidence, not fear, in facing Christ one day. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Herein is our love made complete or perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, that's God or Christ, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Okay. John wrote that the love, and it's the direct and the article he, and then agape, the love, namely God's love that we believers express by the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, that love which was noted back in 1 John 4:12 to 13, that love of God shed abroad in our hearts is perfected, and the word perfected is teleao, accomplished or completed or perfected, with us in that we believers have courage, confidence, boldness, the Greek word parousian, in the day of the judgment. Now, this day of the judgment is not the great white throne judgment. A lot of Christians are afraid that they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. No, you won't. The people who are judged at the great white throne judgment are all unbelievers. And God's going to check the books, and the books record the works and everything else. And of course, even though their works are there, none of their works work because God checks the final book, namely the Lamb's Book of Life. And your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't make it. You're cast into the lake of fire. That's because nobody's works are good enough. The unsaved think that their works will make it. So God says, okay, let's be fair. Let's look at your works. And he opens the books, and all of their works are there, and they all come up short. And they're also short because they're not in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the Great White Throne Judgment is not a judgment where you and I as Christians will be. We are going to be at the Bema, and the Greek word is the word Bema. We translate it the Bema Seat of Christ. The Bema is like an awards banquet. That's where you stand up there, and your Christian life is going to be judged. And you will receive reward for that which is done in the power of God and for God's glory, or a loss of reward. But it doesn't affect your salvation. We're going to get into this in depth. This day of judgment is not the great white throne judgment where the unsaved are cast into the lake of fire for not having their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's in Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15. For the believer is once for all relieved of such dreadful judgment. John 5, 24 is a tremendous verse where Jesus said, he that believes on me, and I'll I'll just go ahead and read it at this particular point. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but he has passed from death into life." That's eternal security. He doesn't say there's a possibility that he can go back into condemnation if he stops believing in me, as the Arminians say, or if he does a bad enough sin and so forth. No, he will not come into condemnation. There's no condition. He won't, because he has passed from death to life. When you know Jesus Christ, you're passed from death to life. So this judgment cannot mean the great white throne judgment. Rather, this is the judgment of Christians, the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer will have his Christian life examined by the Lord Jesus Christ for reward or loss of reward, as the case may be. Now, let's just look a little bit at this. The passage we want to look at in depth that deals with what's going to happen at the judgment seat is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, the apostle wrote, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," the foundation which is Christ, "gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." And the fire is God's testing, God's examination. "And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is." The word "sort" is the word that we would translate quality, or what kind it is. "If any man's work remain, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward." In other words, if it passes the judgment test of God, the fire test of God, your work does, then your work will remain. "But if any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, and the loss he suffers is loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So there's nobody who's going to lose his salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. But Christians, some Christians, it's entirely possible for a Christian to have all of his work burned up because he lived a life that was godless and out of fellowship and disobedient to the Lord. So the judgment seat of Christ will test each believer's work to see what sort it is. And the word "sort" in the Greek Testament is hapoios, or quality or manner. A believer will either receive reward for quality or godly workmanship, or suffer a loss of reward, but he himself will be saved, as he has eternal security. Now, the confidence we can have then in facing this judgment seat of Christ as believers is based upon the fact that just as God is, so also are we believers in the world. What this means by the context is this: since John has just written about God being the God of love in 1 John 4:16, and we believers exhibit God's love as we rely on the Holy Spirit to express it through us, just as God is a God of love, we believers who rely upon the Holy Spirit and who express that love and thus are made complete in our experience as loving people, and the exhibition of the Spirit's love in us means we do what pleases God. So we have confidence in facing the Lord at Christ's judgment seat. This is a long way of saying that if we are Christians who are walking with the Lord, we are going to demonstrate that by a loving relationship towards God and other people. And it's going to show up in our works of love. When we see that love, that's an indication that we are on the beam with the Lord. And we can have confidence. When that love has been expressed in our Christian lives, we can have confidence that we have nothing to fear when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, because that is pleasing to God. Ultimately, what God is doing in us, he's working in us to produce loving Christians, truly loving Christians, people who love in righteousness, who care for one another as Christians, who love the Lord and are dedicated to him. However, if a believer who contemplates standing before Christ one day does so with anxiety, it is because God's love has not yet reached its completeness in him. This is why 1 John 4:18 says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that is feared is not made perfect in love." See, what John is saying is a mature love authored by the Holy Spirit in the believer has no such fear. and indeed even casts it out for fear his punishment. In the context, John meant that the fear carries with it a kind of torment that is its own punishment, so that ironically an unloving believer experiences punishment precisely because he feels guilty and is afraid to meet his judge. In other words, it's a self-imposed torment of carnality. Someone has said that the most miserable person in the world is a carnal Christian, and I have a tendency to believe that. Because if we are carnal as Christians, the Holy Spirit stops working through us, and he turns around and works to us. And he disciplines us, and he makes us feel absolutely miserable because he's trying to get us to repent. See, and it's true. I've seen people, Christians, who are very, very miserable. And I know that when I've been out of fellowship with the Lord, I'm miserable, feel miserable, about myself and everything. So it's something to keep in mind. In contrast, the believer who expresses God's love by the Holy Spirit's power has nothing to fear, and thus escapes the inner torment which failure to love can bring. So the torment that he's talking here about is not an eternal torment in hellfire. You're not going to face that. But we have a self-inflicted torment of guilt if we are out of fellowship with the Lord and we're not demonstrating love. Very, very simple. So since even the believer who can stand before God in confidence as a truly loving believer realizes that his capacity thus to love is derived from God himself, that he loves God because God first loved him so as to save and equip him by the Holy Spirit to love him in return. 1 John 4:19 with 1 John 4:9 and 12 and 13 indicates that coupled with living lovingly and thus with confidence in facing Christ, the believer should also greatly appreciate God's grace that made such a confidence and experience even possible. You know, when you stop and you think about it, if we are demonstrating love on our lives, that is not something that we were born with. We were born sinners. And before we knew Christ as our Savior, we were not people who were exhibiting true Christian godly love towards other people, let alone to God. In fact, the Bible says we were enemies of God. But while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. So if we are exhibiting love, that's a tremendous demonstration of the glory of God, that he's done a great work in our hearts to change our hearts and then to give us the Spirit of God, and then as we rely on the Holy Spirit, he's demonstrating that love through us. That's a work of God. So we need to rejoice in God's grace. We also need to rejoice in the fact that God in his grace and demonstrating his love through us is giving us the capacity and the reason to be confident that we're going to stand before him with righteousness and works that will stand righteous. Now, this is why the Bible says we're going to spend a lot of time flat on our faces, throwing our crowns at the feet of the Lord, because we're going to recognize everything we have, even our access to heaven, is all by grace. And even the crowns that we have been earned only by the power of God and by the righteousness of God. So, if the believer relies on the Holy Spirit to love God and fellow believers, that love expression gives him confidence that he pleases God and that the Lord will reward him at the judgment seat of Christ so that he can afford to face that day with confidence. However, failure thus to love gives no such confidence, but even produces a self-induced form of inner torment due to guilt over that lack. So may we rely upon the Holy Spirit to love and so face Christ's judgment seat confidently. I never get tired of rereading this passage in Galatians. The Apostle Paul wrote about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, that's the capital S, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love. And then joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If we see the Holy Spirit's producing love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control in us, that should cause us great joy, because that's evidence that we are on the beam with the Lord. We can have confidence. If the rapture were to occur, we'll stand before him. We're in right relationship with the Lord. But the Holy Spirit produces these things, and it's all because of the grace of God. It's just an amazing thing. I heard a story many years ago of a lady who stopped to witness to a little child, a little girl in her neighborhood, and started talking about Jesus and who Jesus was. And the little girl says, "Oh, I know him." And the missionary says, "Are you sure? He's been in heaven a long time." "Oh, no, no, let me show you." So she took the lady down the corner and around and introduced her to her pastor. This little girl had seen this pastor so live Christ that when this lady was describing Jesus and what Jesus was like, it reminded the little girl of her pastor. And she got mixed up between Jesus and her pastor. Now, that's a wonderful testimony. That's something that every pastor should aim towards, is living in the power of the Spirit of God to such an extent that a little child mixes them up for the Lord as far as the characteristics. And that should be in our own lives, shouldn't it? All of us as adults, all of us even boys and girls, we become so much like Jesus Christ with his love and his joy, his peace, his gentleness, his meekness, his holiness, that we actually reflect him and other people see Jesus Christ in us. I think there's a song, "May Christ Be Seen in Me," that we used to sing as a chorus we used to sing. But God help us to depend upon the Spirit of God in such a way that love shows through. I am happy to say that I see evidence of the love of God being shown through the lives of many Christians and many times in Nipong Church, and more. But it's interesting how the Apostle Paul says, may your love abound more and more in 1 Thessalonians. We need to keep on growing in that area. That's something that the world can't see enough of, because the world doesn't have that kind of love. The world has a self-centered love. It does not know the gracious, self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ. And that's what they need to see in us.